At this time, we'll move on to agenda item number one, and I'll let Phil Ford introduce.
A couple of weeks ago, I was down in Austin, and I was looking forward to seeing Bob Rose's presentation about the drought. I was summoned up to the Pink Building, and you were trumped, Bob, by a senator and a representative. So anyway, I didn't get a chance to see it. John Hoffman saw it and said it was one of the best presentations he'd ever seen. So I called their general manager, Becky Motal, and she said he had just given it to the LCRA board the day before. So I thought it would be a great opportunity for y'all to see that. So without further ado, Bob. And thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Ford, and members of the board. Thank you very much for having me out here. Is this the best place to stand, I guess?
Yeah, okay. Wherever you want to.
Okay, great. This drought's affecting all of us. It's not just the Brazos River, not just the Colorado River. It's affecting almost all of Texas. So this is a really serious situation where something probably most of us haven't seen since the drought years of the 50s. And there's starting to be a lot of comparison now between what's going on in the period of the 50s. So I'm going to start off and talk a little bit about that. Just first about the drought, and then a little bit about the weather patterns that we're in, kind of the outlook for the next few months. So we'll start off with the next slide. And just sort of in the large scheme of things, I wanted to show you, this is sort of a historical record look by using tree ring data going back to the 1550s about periods of extended drought here in Texas. Anything you see here in the blue is the instrumental record where we've had rain gauges and thermometers, but anything before that is where we've had to infer through tree rings. And this was based actually on four trees in Texas that they have some really good tree ring data on. They converted these tree rings to what they call the Palmer Drought Severity Index, or PDSI. And if you look back through the historical record going back to about 1550, you can see that we've had several periods, I've circled them here in yellow, of extended periods of drought. Really long one there right after the 1550s. We had one back in about the 1850s, and here is the 1950s, which, you know, we've seen longer periods. We're all saying that the drought period of the 50s is our drought of record. But if you look at the tree ring data, we've actually had worse droughts here in Texas than that. So I really just wanted to kind of put this in perspective. This is where we are in the current period. This is from 2011, when the Palmer Drought Severity Index for Texas got down to its lowest level ever. This is even going back to 1550. We came close in 1789, but conditions in the summer of 2011 were actually worse than that. So to bring it back into more of the current time, we'll move on to the next slide. This is looking at the major droughts in Texas, and this is statewide droughts, not really regional droughts. This was put together by the Texas Water Resources Institute. You can see that we've had many periods of extended drought, at least in the more or less the modern era, since Texas has been settled. Most of these, what's interesting, have only been about 3 years in length. But when you get, to the 1950s, they say it was about 7 years in length. Even through the period of the 90s, we had 1995, 96, 2005, 2006, and then, of course, the current drought that we're in right now. Taking this one step further, if this is the drought timeline on the next slide, this is going back to 2000. And what you're seeing here is percentage of the state that is in drought, with 100% being up at the top, and then the intensity of the drought being the darker colors you see up here. And the reason I'm showing this slide, if we just go back to 2000, look how many years we've been in drought here in Texas. We really had only two periods, 2004 and 2007, where the entire state went drought-free. We got close in late 2009, 2010, but then there's the drought of 2011 and onward. You can see how terrible this current drought is. So we've been seeing a lot more drought years over, say, the last 12, 13 years than we have wet years here in our area. So it does appear that our weather pattern has shifted a little bit because we are seeing a lot more of the drought here. So move on to the next slide. Part of this can be blamed on a phenomenon that's called in the Pacific Decadal Oscillation. About every 20 to 25 years, the water in the Pacific kind of rearranges itself. When we're in the warm phase, the warmest waters are generally on the eastern side, the coldest waters on the west. When we're in the cool phase, where we are right now, the coolest waters are on the east, warmest waters shift out to the west. In those type of years, we tend to have more La Niñas and really more drier years here in Texas. And so we're really starting to see that I just showed you that on that previous slide, how we've been seeing a lot more of the dry years than the wet years. That's more like the period of the 90s and into the 80s. If you remember, we had a lot more wet years, a lot more floods. But the Pacific did change about 12 years ago. We'll move on to the next slide, I can actually show you that. Beginning in about 1997, 1998, this is when the Pacific changed and went into the cold phase again. And it's really interesting how this works out. If you look back to the period of the 50s through about the mid-70s, that's the last time the Pacific was in this negative phase of the Pacific Decadal Oscillation. During that period, we had 14 La Niñas compared to 7 El Niños. You all remember that El Niños is what brings us the wetter weather. The La Niña years are typically our dry or our drought years. So during that period, it's almost 2-to-1 where we had the dry to wet. Then when the Pacific changed in the 80s, from the mid-70s going through the 80s up to the late 90s, during this period, we had 10 El Niños, 3 La Niñas. So again, you know, a lot more of the wetter years. Now, since the Pacific has changed its cold phase again, we've already had 7 La Niñas to 3 El Niños. So that's really kind of telling as to why we're seeing more of the drought years than the wet years, the periods that many of us are more used to, like during the 80s and the 90s. On the next slide, another factor here is what's going on in the Atlantic. The Atlantic also goes through phases where the water temperatures in the North Atlantic become warmer than normal for many years, and then also start to cool off. But it's not on the same time step as what we're seeing in the Pacific. So both of these have been oscillating here over the last 50, 100 years, and even longer than that. But right now, this period that we're in right now, this is the first time since the 50s that the Atlantic is warm, and the Pacific is in its cold phase. The two haven't coincided since that time. So many scientists think that because the two have intersected again, and there's a lot of mechanics involved with what happens when the Atlantic turns warm and stuff like that. But since these two have intersected now, that's why many scientists think that we're in a period very similar to that of the 50s, and this drought that we're in right now could very much resemble a multi-year drought like the drought of the 50s. It's not necessarily a repeat. It's not going to be 7-10 years long. We don't know. But there's a lot of thought that because these two are coinciding right now, that this drought we're in may last for quite a bit longer going into the future. On to the next slide, this is some telling words from our state climatologist. It says if Texas has a dry May and June, it could spell real trouble, putting the state onto a path of a multi-year drought that's worse than the drought of the 50s. Not good news there. So there's a lot riding on the kind of weather we're going to see here the next couple of months. May and June are typically our two wettest months of the year in most areas of the state. And so there's a lot riding on this. If we go through May and June without that, this is going to be a really tough summer, really tough fall for much of Texas. So move on to the next slide. This is now going to take us into the more or less our outlook. For the next year. By the way, on that last slide, that was Lake Travis, if you're wondering which lake that was. And Lake Travis is more than 50 feet down. So, a lot of the lake level, the lake itself is about 38% full at this time. So let's move on and talk a little bit about the weather outlook. I want to take you back to 2011. If you remember 2009, 2010, we had a fairly wet winter. Much of the state got a lot of rain. But then this drought started in the fall of 2011. Right after that winter period, tropical storm Hermine had come in, brought a lot of rain to much of central and even parts of North Texas. But then the rain turned off in late 2010, and then we went into 11. I think all of us remember that. This is the rainfall departure from normal for much of the state. The rain was anywhere 12 to 16, more than 20 inches below normal. Just one of those phenomenal years I hope we never see a repeat of, but that on top of the heat was something else. As we moved into 2012, the next slide, this is last year, things got a little bit better, especially parts of West Texas actually were a little wetter than normal. But everywhere we see the orange and the yellows and the tans, that's all below normal in rainfall. Sure, there's a few pockets here and there that we did a little bit better than others, but overall the state was still much drier than normal. But it was an improvement over 11, but still drought continued across much of the state. Well, this is where we are on the next slide, where we are right now. Now, this doesn't take into account the weekend rains that we saw, but they were primarily in this zone between Houston to just south of San Antonio. Widespread 3 to 4 inches. You may have heard even a few spots over 8 up to 9 inches of rain. But for the rest of Central and North Texas and West Texas, really not much rain at all. The system just didn't work out like the forecasters had hoped. So this is since January 1. Most areas of the state are running between about 2 and 4 inches below normal, some places even a little bit more than that. So we haven't started off the year very wet at all. So looking at the next slide, this is looking back the past 60 days. What has the weather pattern been doing across the country? Well, it's been staying dry out in the west. For Texas, we've been drier than normal. The really wet areas have been up here in parts of the Midwest and over into the Ohio Valley, in the southeast, eastern Louisiana, over toward Georgia. This is the areas where the rain has been falling, and it's been missing Texas for some reason. So everything's really been just up to our north or just off to our east. Next slide, we're looking at, I just thought I'd take this to show this as an example about rainfall and the way the rain's been falling and why it hasn't been productive for us when it has happened. I just took Waco as an average city here in north central Texas. And going back to January 1, this is looking at rainfall. Of course, we had some real good rain in the early part of January. We went all the way from early January to about the 12th of February, then we had about a little over half an inch. Then we went all the way to about the 12th of March. We had about 1.5 inches. And then since that time, we've had just some very small amounts. And then about mid-April, we had a little over half an inch again. So same thing's happening in the Colorado Basin. You'll get a rain, and then you'll go for like a month or so without any rain or any substantial rain. Can't really generate any runoff that way because the soils dry out so much in between. So we've seen that sort of erratic behavior in the rainfall, even when it has been falling. So that's one of the reasons why we can't really generate a lot of runoff until the rains start falling more on top of each other. On the next slide, I just want to bring you up to date also on where things are as far as soil moisture goes. This is looking at it. This is the national, Land Data Acquisition System. It's looking at it from a satellite perspective and also reports on the ground. You can see that for much of Texas, we are well below normal in the soil moisture in the ground, the total column. Now, things are green outside. The top few inches are still have a little bit of moisture in it. When you start going down deeper to 8, 10, 12 inches, things are really dry across almost all of Texas. So that's kind of giving you the rainfall perspective. That's giving you the soil moisture perspective. So when you put all that together, the next slide, this is the drought monitor across the country. And you can see that the drought here in Texas is connected with the drought that developed last year into the Plain States. This is now into the third year of the drought here in Texas. Got a lot of drought out into the west, and of course across the east, where I showed you all that heavy rain last few months, really no drought in place. But on the next slide, we'll focus in on Texas, and you can see this was from last week. You see, we have a lot of drought now indicated across almost all of Texas. Now, with the rains last weekend, I would expect much of this drought to probably either go away on the latest drought depiction or probably be scaled way back. But on the latest analysis from the D1 through D4, we have 91% of the state right now in some form of drought. We have 12% of the state, then much of the valley and into the southwest in the exceptional drought. The very worst category of drought, that's where we were in 2011 across about 88-90% of the state at that time. So conditions are not good, and this is based not only on rainfall, but conditions on the ground, like I mentioned before, soil moisture, and then impacts such as agriculture or fires, things like that. So a lot of drought across the state, and things are only getting worse now that we're into the warm season, temperatures are heating up, and we're not getting a whole lot of those spring rains. On to the next slide. This is a comparison from where we were last year. Now, this is the current monitor at this time. This is where we were last year at this time. If you remember last winter, we had quite a bit of rain during the winter period, and conditions were a little bit better across the state. In fact, much of North Texas came out of their drought. Same thing in the Houston area. Things had gotten pretty good around San Antonio as well. The aquifer there had gone up. And things were looking a little more optimistic. Of course, after this point, things started drying out during the summer. But we were in a different position last year than we are this time. We didn't get those winter rains this year. And so we're already off to a worse start heading in toward the summer. So on the next slide. I wanted to mention a little bit about what's going on in the Pacific right now. Now, I talked about the Pacific Decadal Oscillation earlier. That's the big picture. But I wanted to show you what's been going on like on the last few months. Now, if you remember probably hearing from some of the meteorologists about a year ago at this time, there was talk that, hey, the Pacific's warming up. We might be going into an El Nino later in the summer and the fall, which would have been great news. because El Niños tend to bring our region a wetter weather. And this is where we were last year. We were coming off of that two-year La Nina. The Pacific was really warming up, and we actually hit the threshold for El Nino by about August. And so we were really getting excited that maybe things were going to start turning around. The funny thing happened, the El Nino all of a sudden reversed. The Pacific started cooling off very quickly. It never happened. It never engaged the atmosphere, so we never saw those rains develop. And as we got toward late fall and going into early winter, the warmth in the Pacific actually went away and started trending cooler. And the Pacific has now been a little bit cooler than normal ever since the first of the year. We haven't been in El Nino. We haven't been in La Nina. Many forecasters have given this new name, La Nada, for lack of anything else. But it doesn't matter what you call it. We still are not getting the rains here in Texas. But technically, we're not in either the El Nino or the La Nina. If you move on to the next slide, this is really showing the water, what's going on in the Pacific right now. This is the coast of South America here. This is the equator. There's the dateline. There's Australia, just to give you an idea. This is the area that we kind of concentrate on, the tropical Pacific. In that zone. And right now, the waters are near normal, maybe a little bit below normal. So really not much going on. And I don't think the whole lot's going to change there. We really need those waters to trend warmer to start bringing us a lot more rain here later into the year. But right now, it just doesn't look that way. In fact, on the next slide, this is a look at the latest long-range model runs. This is looking out into time here. This would be the zero line. Anything above plus 0.5 would be an El Nino. Anything below a minus 0.5 would be a La Nina. And so we've been tracking along again right here, right below the zero line. And most of the models say we're going to stay right around that zero line, maybe a little bit above as we get toward late summer into the fall. You know, a couple of models say, yes, we could hit an El Nino. Some models say, yes, we could go back into La Nina. Overall, the consensus is more or less along that yellow line. Pacific will stay neutral through the summer, even into fall. There's no real trend out there where we're going to see a strong signal out of the Pacific one way or the other. So what does that tell us? Well, the weather pattern's going to be somewhat variable here over the next few months. Some areas of the state will probably see some rain like we did over the weekend. You know, we have a few pockets, got some really heavy rain. But overall, I think this drought pattern is more or less going to linger on through the rest of spring and even through the fall, possibly even to the summer and even to the fall as well. The next slide, I wanted to show you that this is the latest outlook for the National Weather Service with temperature outlook on the left, precipitation on the right. They start off with May on the top. This is then May, June, July. Now, the Weather Service has an interesting way of looking at rainfall and giving it to you in a forecast. They go either above normal, or below normal, or equal chances. Have you all ever heard that before? Equal chances, it could be above, below, or near normal. I mean, I wish I could tell my boss that that's the outlook for the next few months. You know? But honestly, they do this all on what they do, a probability scale, 33, 33, 33. You know, 33% would be above, 33% below, or if it falls in that middle 33 percentile range, it's equal chances. And that's pretty much what they're now showing for Texas for the month of May, and then for June as well, that right now there's really no big, strong signals out there, so we are going to see a lot of variability in the pattern. But overall, I'm not expecting a big change. The next slide, this takes us through the summer months. There's June, July, August. July, August, September. You notice that for much of Texas, really not a lot of trend there. Mainly in the Panhandle region and into New Mexico is where they're seeing the strongest trend for below normal rain. For us, it's more or less, it could go either way, but I'll be honest with you. I think we're going to stay on the drier side than anything really wet coming along for the next few months. Next slide is temperature. And even though they've been calling for warmer than normal temperatures for much of spring, and it hasn't happened, we continue to get these cold fronts in here. I think we are going to trend warmer as we get later into May, and then certainly by June, that we're finally going to get out of these cold fronts coming down. But as you can see up here, a warmer than normal forecast. Of course, you know, with summer, a lot of people saying, well, is this a rerun of 2011? I don't think we're going to be that hot. Of course, a lot of it depends on how much rain we get here in May and into June, but I don't think we're going to see a rerun of that. I think it'll be more along the level of what we had last summer. On the next slide, this was the U.S. drought outlook for the next 3 months. Many of y'all may have seen this. This takes us through the end of July. It's a three-month outlook. And for much of Texas, you notice we're in the tan, drought persistence. Again, just nothing, no strong climate signals to indicate that we are going to turn wet here anytime soon. Now, for much of northeast Texas, eastern Oklahoma, that area is seeing the wet signal for it because the storms seem to be coming up, coming out of the west. They start developing the rain more or less in this area and off to the east. Not so much into South Texas or West Texas at this time. This little striped area is sort of the borderline right there where the storms start developing their rain. So this area could see some improvement for much of West Texas, coming down through North Central Texas and even down into South Texas. Really not a lot of change expected here over the next 3 months. Not good news at all. We're really hoping for something more. On the next slide, a lot of folks have asked, how much rain would it take to get us out of this drought? Well, you know, to end a drought means a lot of different things to different people. You know, for a farmer, it'd be a lot different than, say, for water managers like you guys to refill lakes. But this is a general idea because this is looking at just the Palmer Drought Severity Index. What would it take to get that back towards zero? Zero is the dividing line between unusually wet, if that number's positive, and unusually dry when the number's negative. Now, right now, we're very negative. But so for much of North Texas in this lime green up here, that corresponds with about 15 to 18 inches of rain. The area that is clear right here, that's a little bit misleading, don't think that they're out of drought or anything. The clear area is actually indicated is about 9 to 12 inches of rain. And anything in the yellow is about 12 to 15. Now, again, that's just a ballpark estimate. And I say an estimate, that would get the Palmer drought back to zero, but that's not necessarily going to refill the lakes. But that kind of gives you an idea of the magnitude of the rain that we're going to need to get us out of this and to start saying that the drought is more or less behind us at that time. So a lot of rain. Of course, being Texas, you know that we can sometimes have this happen overnight. You know, most recently, and it's been now, 6 years ago, the Marble Falls. If you remember when Marble Falls got hit by a huge rainstorm, had 19 inches of rain overnight in about 8 hour period of time. It's rare, but it can happen. We see that sometimes here in Texas. And I'm not predicting that. Those things just come out of the clear blue sky, more or less. let's move on to the next slide. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the tropical weather season, just very briefly. You know, June 1st is the official start of the tropical weather season. And we're looking out into the Atlantic right here at sea surface temperature anomalies. And anything in the yellow there is where the water temperatures are running above normal. And in fact, if you look at the scale down here, we're about a half a degree to more than a degree above normal through much of the area from the west coast of South America all the way through the Caribbean and into the Gulf. Over the winter period, you know, the strange winter that we had where we had all these cold fronts coming down over the eastern part of the country and even into Texas as well, bring all that cold weather down, mainly for the east. The opposite end of that is that the cold air didn't make it down to the Atlantic, so these water temperatures never really cooled off. So we're already well ahead of schedule going into the late spring and summer season. So that's one of the key factors that many forecasters are thinking, that this is going to be an active hurricane season again this year. In fact, on the next slide, this is the latest from Dr. Gray at Colorado State University. The Hurricane Center hasn't put out their outlook yet. It'll be the third Thursday of May when they put that out. But Dr. Gray has a pretty good track record in forecasting hurricanes and tropical storms ahead of the season. This was his synopsis. We anticipate that this coming season will have enhanced active activity compared with the 1981 through 2010 climatology. Tropical Atlantic has anomalously warmed over the past several months. That's that map I just showed you. It appears the chances of an El Nino event later this summer and fall are unlikely. He mentions that because El Ninos tend to limit the number of storms. So we don't see an El Nino on the horizon, unfortunately. I mean, we'd love to see that because that would tend to bring us more rain this fall. But this is interesting. He says, we anticipate an above average probability for major hurricanes making landfall across the United States coastline and in the Caribbean. So, unlike last year, where we didn't have that many storms making landfall in the U.S., this year it looks like the pattern's going to be a little bit different. In fact, on the next slide, I did want to show you, it'll be two slides, I'll get to that in a second. This is his outlook, 18 named storms, 9 of those becoming hurricanes, and 4 of those becoming major hurricanes. Now, in comparison, last year we had 19 named storms. But a lot of people thought that it was a fairly quiet year. Sure, we had Sandy, everybody remembers that one. We had Isaac that came into Louisiana. But, you know, other than that, most of the storms stayed offshore. In fact, on the next map, I'll show you that. Oh, I guess I didn't put that one in there. Most of the storms stayed offshore. They recurved out into the Atlantic. So we really only had Isaac and Sandy hit the U.S. last year, a couple of tropical storms, but nothing toward Texas. It was a very poor year as far as tropical weather. We didn't even get any kind of real tropical waves coming up into Texas. But this year, I think, is going to be different. What we're seeing right now is more of a flow coming in off the Gulf. And this kind of opens the door much more than what we've seen last year, that we could either get tropical storms or maybe tropical depression or maybe even just some disorganized tropical waves coming up this year. And so that may provide some relief. We'll have to see. But again, one individual storm is not going to take the entire state out of drought. So it will provide relief to some limited areas wherever that storm happens to track, but it's not going to give widespread relief to the state. So kind of putting everything together, I hope I haven't bored you too long, but no end in sight to this ongoing drought. I think it's going to be with us for much of the rest of the year, and if not longer than that. I do think we'll see periods of rain from time to time, you know, kind of like this sort of surprise rain we had this weekend down toward the coast. I think overall our rainfall will average near normal to maybe slightly below normal May through August. Now, as all of you know, it's going to take not near normal, but above normal rain to start making some inroads into this drought. Right now, no true wet signal is seen over the next few months. You know, we're going to be more or less near to slightly below normal. This tropical weather season, it might be a help. We'll just see how things work out with that. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes the storms go more off to the east into Louisiana, and they're not. But let's hope that maybe we can get a weak tropical depression or something just kind of come in and rain itself out. And like I said, summer temperatures, I think, are going to be similar to what we had more or less last summer. Not a rerun of 2011, again, it's going to be a hot summer. Once we can get past about the middle of May, I think the heat is really going to be on. And with that, that's the end of my presentation. Anybody have any questions I might be able to answer? Yes, sir.
Stepping back one notch, what are the factors that influence Pacific Ocean temperature?
I mean, what causes them to turn unusually warm, unusually cool? It's more or less driven. It was driven by two things, really. The trade winds is one of them. Like when the trade winds reverse and become westerly instead of easterly, that tends to warm up that tropical portion of the Pacific. And the other part is what's going on underneath. You know, you have water underneath that comes up toward the surface, and that's the part that we don't have a real good handle on just yet as to why sometimes we will get, believe it or not, warm water will start coming up from the depths up toward the surface, and that will help to create the El Nino. We don't really know exactly what causes that, but the trade winds, we can sometimes see they're the systems that come along, large-scale systems, and they'll actually cause those trade winds to reverse for a long period of time, maybe a month, 2 months, 3 months, and it starts to get that warm water moving eastward, and it can change the whole characteristic of the Pacific. This time, most of our forecast models are saying we're not seeing that happen. And best we can determine, even that the subsurface water is not going to change all that much, that we're probably going to go along like this right on into the fall period. Hope that kind of...
When that deeper water comes up, is that kind of like a lake turning over?
A little bit like that, yes. The water generally starts, it starts out around east of Australia, around Indonesia and that area, and that starts to flow east and then comes up as it does. Comes up toward the surface when it gets around the dateline. So yeah, in a way, it would be kind of like the lake turning over. It's kind of interesting to think that, you know, warm water would come up from the depths, because warm water, you know, as you would think, would be lighter and it would already be up at the surface. But because of strange ocean currents where water, you know, sinks and things like that, we do sometimes get warmer water at the depths, and then it will come up toward the top. Yes, sir.
As you continue to collect statistics over long periods of time, at what point do you redefine normal?
Well, that's a good question. In the big picture, I guess, you know, at some point you're going to have to step back and say this is, you know, normal has changed. But in the shorter term, though, we tend to use the last 30 years as being what's normal. And by doing that, you're really taking into account, you know, what is happening in the weather. You know, we're not looking at the entire period of record. We're looking at the last 30 years, because things do start changing in the shorter period. So right now we're using 1981 through 2010, and that takes up, you know, most of the last few years. And, you know, as I showed you before, the weather did start turning drier in the late 1990s and going into the 2000s. So we are looking at that. That is figured into our normals. But, you know, like you're saying, though, we're in a period now, you know, we're seeing a lot more of the dry years. That seems to be the new normal. But I don't think we can ignore the fact that just, you know, 20 years ago or so, 15 years ago, we were in a wetter regime. So we're still coming out of that.
So what you're, saying is normal then really is adjusted very slightly each year as you add a year and drop a year?
It's actually done every 10 years. We do it every 10. So the next one won't be done until, I guess, 2021. But we are kind of, you know, still keep, you know, tracking along. I'm not showing you a period of record, but this is the new normal right now that, you know, we are in a drier period. I wish I had better news. You know? I'm just the messenger, though.
Thank you, Bob.
All right, thank you all very much.
Good job, Bob.